Well. And somebody say, ain't God good?
God is good.
He's good. He's all the time good. Amen. Even in the hard things, He's good. He's good. He often, in His goodness toward us, gives us things that are challenging and difficult in His great love and goodness. Amen? Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day to all our sweet ladies today. We sure value you and love you and appreciate you. And what would we do without the women in our lives? Amen? We would just fall apart. I'm just telling you. That's what God said. That's why He brought man a woman. Amen. He needed a woman. And I'm going to give y'all just a minute here to share a few things. But I want to welcome my brother here. Oh, Adam Embry and his wife Ashley and their children have come. Adam was in the youth group at Northcrest Baptist Church right when Stephanie and I was interrupted by the Lord Jesus, and God began to work on us, and we just wanted to serve and do whatever we could, and prayerfully we didn't mess them up too bad. But Adam was in the youth, and we taught on Wednesday nights, and they had an Awana program, and then they had, was it Act Teens? JV, which with that Awana, and Adam was part of that. And he's grown up to be a pretty big old boy, hadn't he? And what a sweet, sweet family, sweet wife. And Ashley, does your parents, are they still at Faith?
No, sir.
They're not?
My dad works on the pipeline.
He's on the go, huh? They travel a little bit. I see them on Facebook from time to time as well, and they keep up some. But we sure glad to have y'all with us today. Amen. We sure are. And anybody would like to say a word in particular, it is Mother's Day, and we'd love for you to share, Maya, something about your sweet mama, and or anybody. She's got you right now, huh? Don't break mama's fingers, boy. That won't be any good, that's for sure. But does anybody want to testify? Anybody want to share anything sweet? Or I know you miss your mama, huh? You cried last night?
Yes. I sleep. I miss my mama.
I know you miss your mama, huh?
I love her.
Did she take good care of you?
Yes.
Now you got a big sister gets to take good care of you too, huh?
I miss my mama.
I know. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm thankful for my mama.
I'm thankful for your mama too.
She's my backbone and helps me with my girls.
She wouldn't have it any other way, taking care of those grand owls. I bet they wear out, though.
Yeah, now they wear me out. But I know Marab would be proud of her. And the girls, so.
Yes, amen. Boy, mamas make every day a holiday for the rest of us, don't they?
Yep.
Think about it. They really do.
Well, today is the second time I've been without mom, but
yeah.
she was a rock of our family.
Mm.
I think back, it's all the sacrifices she made over the years. Not only for our family, but for others.
Whoever she needed, yeah.
She would go put herself on the back burner to make sure that they were taken care of and things were tended to.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Out of pain, the main thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way my body's developing into the stuff that she had, it's like, I don't know how she stood it.
I'm telling you.
But she hardly ever complained about it, you know. She just.
She hurt, but she kept pressing on, huh?
She had to hurt 24/7, and it's some bad hurt that oil cross.
Yeah. Y'all remember, did y'all see Mama Rob back there in the back putting hot water on her hands so she can come in here and play? Mm-hmm. Rubbing those hands so she could work them out and play that piano for us? I missed her heyday. They said she used to tear it up back in the day, huh?
Yeah, she My daddy says you can beat the
eye real. Oh, man.
But we miss her, but like I said, you know, it's a sure and a rejoicing. But
yeah.
But where she is today.
Well, praise Jesus.
No more pain. She's having a big
time. Yeah. And the great thing she invested in y'all and so many.
Great mamas come through this church.
Mm.
You know, Mr. Fox has got a saying. I'm not familiar with him, but his main saying is the good that men do, or women, will live long after they're gone.
Right.
And that is a very true statement.
Yeah, yeah.
People that do good, I mean, it makes an impact for years.
It sure does. The Lord promises us that goodness and mercy will follow us. Amen. It follows when we follow Him. Pam, you was going to say something?
I said we've had a lot of great mothers come through this community and this church that made a mark on my life. And I think about them and their teachings all the time. And, you know, the memories that they gave us. We have been blessed here.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Brittany said that Pam was her backbone. Well, she's my backbone, too. I'll have to say that. But my mother, she's really come to know the Lord in her last years, you know.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good when I go down there and see her and talk to her.
Amen. Amen.
Mothers are unique and they good to have you blessed if you've got a good mother.
Oh, yes, yes. What a difference it makes. What a difference it makes. Huh, Boom? You going to talk?
Yeah. I'm, you know, blessed by my mom all the time, but I'm also blessed by the mom that Kate is, you know, all she does with the situation with Hunter and both boys at two different schools and everything she does to make that happen.
Yeah. Loves them both. Yes, takes good care of them. Amen.
I'm kind of like Greg. This is my second year without Mama.
Mm.
And when she passed last year, it was the Monday before Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. Oh, the precious memories. Amen.
Amen.
They linger. They stay with us. They stay with us. Davin said his mama taught him how to enjoy a popsicle, huh? Mm-hmm. Or a lollipop, huh?
Lollipop. while I'm looking out the window.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thankful, of course, for our two mamas. But I just want to take a minute to say how thankful I am for all the mamas here who have influenced our kids.
And us.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking about our girls. They've... I mean, we've been here since Lydia and Lauren were still in school,
mm-hmm.
and been here through the weddings and now the babies. And
yeah.
I just think back of all the different, in ministry, and you settle in, you're not with your family. Your church family is so important, and the Lord has blessed us with such sweet. I know I'm gonna cry for everything that he says. But it's fun. I just think back. I was thinking of the memories, like Pam dying more hair.
Do y'all know Pam came? Pam came before we actually moved out here.
Before
we moved out here, while we were still living in Meridian, Stephanie was gone. I come home from something. We both was out. We were two separate places. I come in. Yeah, I come in and Lauren comes down and Lauren's got yellow gold looking hair.
And eyebrows.
And guess who was upstairs? Pam was upstairs, done dyed her hair.
Lauren picked out the
car. Yeah. Oh,
but we have such good memories. I mean, to just talk about all of them, I'd leave someone out because everybody has been such a part of our life. But we've had those that's helped us.
Weddings and everything. Done so much, yeah.
Gosh, yeah. Deborah headed up the whole wedding, the whole reception for Lauren. It was Lauren's wedding, right? I think it was Lauren. Was Lydia's or
Lydia.
Lauren's? One of them. And then we've had those that's helped us fly financially to help us go see our kids when they lived across the ocean. And I mean,
one thing after the other.
I'm just
they just stacked up. Them Ebenezers.
I remember with Lauren when she used to, I used to take her to school for y'all.
Yeah.
At Russell Academy, and the first time I saw her on the side of the road, she was in an accident after we had quit riding together, and she got her car, and she'd had an accident there on 45.
Yeah.
And I freaked out, and I couldn't turn around fast enough to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there on their way.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, honey. Because I used to fuss at her. When she first got her car.
Yeah.
She wouldn't stop at the railroad tracks, and she would drive too fast, and I would say, baby, you need to slow down. There's deer. They will wreck you on this road.
Yeah.
But she was very sweet.
We appreciate you reiterating that to her as well. Yeah, she liked to get hit by one of those trains one day, if I ain't mistaken, not paying attention. Then slipped up on. We just had one get hit by the train in the last 2 weeks up there. And so, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Miss Pat, she remembers our grandkids' birthdays better than we do.
She does.
Yeah. You probably still need information from everybody, huh?
Y'all have your address, birthdays, anniversaries, all that. You can write on a piece of paper and get me that so I can only have like 6 out of the church.
Yeah, just your birthdays, anniversaries, things like that. She'll put it on there and have something for us so that it'd be easy to keep up. Because it's hard to keep up. Hard for me to keep up with my own crew, much less everybody, so that would be a rich blessing to all of us for sure. Any others? We've got several that are out and about today, and thankful Carrie come by and dropped off the bulletins, and she was headed to go see her mama this morning, and we're just grateful. Got to see my mama for a brief moment. We made a little quick trip down to Louisiana Friday evening. We left at 2 o'clock and went to a graduation and got home about 12:45 Friday night. So it was good. Of course, we could have stayed down there and just come on back early in the morning, but I was looking forward to getting back to my own bed, and we just loaded up and come on back to the house. We didn't bring anything to stay. But we had a good time and did get to see Mama for a minute. Got to see my dad as well, and my brothers and their children. And two nieces. What's that? Yeah, and Brother Marvin as well. It's all good to have all these little ones in here and these mamas with these little ones. And little Hazel called, and I was talking with her. It was either yesterday or the day before, and I always ask them, say, how old are you, girl? And she'd tell me. She said, next year I'm going to be 7. And I told her, I said, girl, you already 7. And she looked at me. I said, you was in your mama's belly for 9 months. And so that would put her over. You know, she would already be 7. But she's 6 and a half, a little over 6 and a half. But I said, you already 7. Just like little Red Bean with Lydia up here, and she'll be delivered, Brother Shannon. Lydia's going to be delivered. Isn't that how the scripture talks about it? Every time you see it, it says not the baby being delivered, but the mother being delivered. And shortly, she's within the 2.5-3 week range now, maybe. She says she's not keeping track, and the baby can stay in there as long as it wants. And she's not looking forward to that. Yeah. but we are, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else?
God's so good.
Ain't he good, Carol? He's so good, for sure. All right, y'all take the revelation that you brought. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. That's where we are. It's what we're looking at right now, what we're journeying through, what we're taking those short steps in and doing what we can to chew on and devour and meditate upon these proverbs. We're up to chapter number nine. Of course, there's so many great things. It's just, where do you even begin to pull from in these great, wonderful, eternal, everlasting nuggets of God's insight so that we can see things. You think about being a mom, being a parent, somebody investing in children and grandchildren, arrows, grand arrows. Boy, these proverbs help us so much with being able to recognize certain qualities and to recognize certain attributes and traits and patterns in our children's lives, in those that we've been surrounded by, the people that come in and out of our life, the people that we listen to, the people that we're gleaning from. These proverbs really are a great means that God has given us to be able to see how people think, how people act. And they will tell us a lot about somebody by the things that they say and the things that they do. We can take it back to these principles, these relational, proverbial words that really give us great insight from God's perspective on how to work with people. Wednesday night we had a really good study as we walked through and then just looked at some of these things and carried it over into the Newer Testament. And It is so, so beneficial. And if you just look in chapter number 9, we're going to see in the beginning passages there, it tells us that wisdom is established. Wisdom that comes from God, number one, is eternal. And wisdom has done everything necessary and invites us to enter into fellowship, to come feast at that table. And when we talk about wisdom, we always want to apply it to Jesus, because Jesus is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. All the knowledge and the wisdom of God is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look at this from a perspective of this relational value that wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars, she has slaughtered her meat, she has mixed her wine, she has also furnished her table, she has sent out her maiden, she cries out in the highest places of the city, and she says, whoever is simple, and a simple person is just somebody that's still in the dark on a lot about life and about the things of God. They're really clueless. It's not that they don't have the capacity to know and learn, they're just ignorant on a lot of stuff. That's the idea of a simple person. Whoever is simple, let him turn into her. And for whoever lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. That's just when you get this visual, and this is what this is, Randy, just a visual of saying that wisdom has done everything that is needful, prepared everything. There's nothing that we add to it. Let's just say that. She's ready. We don't have to add to it. The only thing we do is answer the invitation to come feast and fellowship with and glean from and learn from and walk with to come sit at the table. We know the value of the table. What I mean by that is, obviously, in the last year, we haven't been able to do the things that we would like to be able to do, because we really believe the table is a great place to communicate, to share, to grow. The table was always a fundamental place in our family, around the table with our kids. We always, always made it a priority to eat together. Now, that couldn't be done all the time, but I'm willing to say 98 to 99% of the time, we did, as a family, sat and ate at the table together. And it was not always easy to do that. We had to coordinate and work with that. These girls got to do certain things when they were growing up, but they couldn't do everything. Not that we wanted to keep them from stuff. That wasn't the objective. But we wanted to keep them around us. So we wanted to be involved. And we couldn't be involved in Lydia's life or Lauren's life or Elizabeth's life when they were growing up in a way that we wanted to if they were everywhere else but home. So we began to pray and ask for help, and we began to limit them on some things that they really wanted to do more than they wanted to do others. I mean, yes, it'd be nice if you could play like I did when I was growing up. I mean, I played soccer, I played baseball, I played basketball, and I played football. I only played soccer 1 year, but it took up too much of my time because I wanted to play baseball and football. I played basketball for several years, but once I got to a certain point, I put basketball aside and then focused in on baseball and football. So, but my parents, there was three boys, and each one of us all played. And if we wasn't playing this, I had a brother that was playing. Jeremy played in the band, and he was part of a band, and he did other stuff. He was into the skateboarding and all that. That just wasn't my thing growing up. But we also hunted. And then we got to where we could hunt on our own. And we hunted together, but we would go hunt on our own. If I could slip off and go, I was going to go hunt. And we were just so spread out growing up. And we rarely ever ate at the table. The only time we usually ate at the table was Thanksgiving, Christmas. What's that, Steph? Not that time. Now, when I was coming up, my mama kind of was the oldest of six, so all her siblings usually would come to the house. Other cousins, people on my dad's side, would all come. It kind of centered around our house of the all the Thanksgivings and the Christmases and all that. Usually, everybody would make their way to us. My mama would serve and take care of everybody. But on the average, Sandy, it usually, you know what we were doing? We was in our underwear sitting in the living room watching TV eating. You with me? That's kind of how we did it. And if we had to go on separate times and do different things, that's just what we did. But there was no continuity of like sitting down and having my dad and my mama there and we sitting as a family with my three brothers. At that time, I probably wouldn't have wanted to do it. I liked the way we were doing it. At times, I'm sure these girls of mine didn't appreciate some of those things. But mama, like wisdom, had the house prepared, had everything ready. All they had to do was just come on in. And y'all know Stephanie's a real good cook. And these girls can cook. Lydia don't fool with food much at all. And she can cook. What's that, Lydia? She eats it, she said, and enjoys it. And but Stephanie always had everything laid out, always nice. It was always prepared. Then we go in the ministries where we were traveling some, and then we were at home more, and the girls were homeschooling, and we'd sit at the table and eat breakfast in the morning, eat lunch, and then eat supper as well. It just became part of what we were, and we always treasure that. And even Stephanie and I today on the majority, will even sit at the table and eat. And there's times now that she likes sitting in a recliner, and she said it can't look sitting in that recliner drinking her own coffee, shopping Amazon, and watching her own movies in a recliner is just hard to beat, she says. And but see, wisdom is prepared, and wisdom has a feast. Has done everything, and what wisdom desires to do, Brandon, is pour that insight and understanding into us so that we can walk in intimacy with the Lord, so that we can see things the way God sees it, see life. When we would sit at the table and spend our time together as a family, that was the whole objective. We did our reading just like we do our reading right now, Brother Shannon. And at the table, somehow or another, we tried to bring that up in some kind of way of just getting a sense of where these girls were, some of the things they were seeing in the truth. Sometimes they would communicate And when Elizabeth was home, Elizabeth was the talker, and the other two would kind of be quiet and engage. But everybody's learning, even if it's just one or two people communicating a certain principle. Everybody's picking up on it, unless they just totally pushing away from it and don't want anything to do with it. But that was what we see here, is that, look, wisdom's done everything, and the only thing that wisdom doesn't do is that is, it doesn't answer its own invitation. That's left up to me and you. Wisdom's there. Wisdom's available. And wisdom is not threatened by anything we bring to the table. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Not threatened by anything brought to the table. There's nothing you could bring. No question, no trouble, no problem, nothing. You can't bring anything that threatens wisdom, because wisdom already has an answer, a solution to every problem we face in life.
Come on.
And one of the, you've heard me, we talked about this no telling how many times in the past, but there's a couple areas in the journey as a mama, as a dad, as parents, as we walk with the Lord, there's a couple areas that we really need to examine on how we are working through these things in our life, because that is going to reflect upon our children. And I want to tell you, we're going to mess these things up. How many of y'all messed a few things up? How many of y'all have gave some wrong advice, demonstrated some wrong solutions, practiced some wrong things that had an effect on your arrows and your shaping of them? But remember, how we handle problems, because there's several things that none of us are going to escape in this old world we live in. And problems is one of them. Every single person born alive is going to have to deal with some problems in life. We live in what? A fallen world with fallen people that live with fallen solutions that just create more problems with problems that already exist. And we're part of that. We've contributed to the problem, and then we've been at times had some solutions to the problems. But every person alive, your children, it's inevitable. Little Boone and Palmer Lee, Little Mize, everybody, they're already having to learn how to process and deal with problems in life. But they're going to learn how to deal with those problems, how they are able to filter what they're looking at in life. And they can only do that by the things we're teaching them, by the things they're seeing in us, how we handle some of those problems. And wisdom, as we see in here, is helping us examine or recognize certain things and certain qualities with problems that we got to face, with people we're going to have to face, because they're going to have to face people. It's inevitable. And they're going to face kind people, and they're going to face ugly people and nasty people and disrespectful people. All those things they're going to have to face in life. And we can try to keep them from them, but that's just inevitable. They're going to have to encounter them in life. They're going to have to deal with them, Keith. It's just you can do your best to try to protect them. But the best way we can protect them is not keep them from them, but how do we deal with truth in our life and how it deals with us, so that when we have to face problems and have to face people, we do it from God's perspective and not what a world's teaching us around us. Because you got to keep in mind, God's wisdom is countercultural. It does not flow with the same vein of the way this world thinks and operates.
Amen.
And that's why God gives us these proverbs, to help us see how He values, how He views, how He's given verdicts on certain things, and I want to see it the way that He sees it. And I don't always see it that way. Sometimes I'm the simple one in a dark on the matter. But see, wisdom says, come and sit at my table. And if you're in the dark on this, if you just don't know anything about that, I think wisdom has something to invest in me to give me what I need as I sit in fellowship with the Lord. Amen. And Matter of fact, go over to chapter 8. Let's just look at a couple things. Keep in mind, wisdom, God's wisdom, which is, we see in Jesus manifested, wisdom never gets it wrong. Amen. Now, the wise get it wrong. You and me, I can be considered wise before the Lord and I still get things wrong. I'm not infallible. I'm going to see some things wrong, do some things wrong, even though God may describe me as being wise because I humble myself and seek Him, trust Him, and walk with Him, and I operate in the fear of the Lord. That would be considered a wise man. But even in that wisdom I have, I can still get it wrong just like everybody else. But see, God's wisdom never gets it wrong. He says in verse number 1, "Does not wisdom cry out and understand and lift her voice?" This is chapter 8. "She takes her stand on top of the hill, the high hill, besides the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates and at the entry of the city and at the entrance of doors." Now, each one of those pictures that we just seen there, we've mentioned this a time or two as we've been in Proverbs. These are all places where people gather. These are all gathering places where people gather. Why? Because wisdom, God's wisdom, though it's eternal, though it's from God, God uses His people to communicate His wisdom to His people. Amen. I've got to learn, Brandon, how to hear God's voice and man's voice. Yeah. And I've got to be able to discern, okay, is this God that's speaking, or is this the man speaking, or is this God speaking through the man? And that's because wisdom is going to be declared through people. Though it's God doing it, He's using a mouth to do it with. And I've got to be able to not only recognize it, but I need to be able to teach my arrows and my grand arrows how to recognize God's voice when people are speaking, whether it's Him or not. And He says, verse number 5, verse number 4, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart." Now, fool is simply somebody who has got information, but they believe their information is better than God's information. They believe their insight on something is better than God's insight. So wisdom is still inviting the fool to come into the table so that the fool will humble himself and see God's point of view, and then that fool goes from being a fool to being somebody who is God-fearing and wise, all in the difference of how they see a thing. They see it the way God sees it. Amen. That is what separates a fool from somebody who is wise. Verse 6, "Listen, for I speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things." So we see a couple of what? Excellent and right things. Remember, wisdom never gets it wrong. Verse 7, "For my mouth will speak truth," not just merely facts, but what? Truth. Truth about the facts. "Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are what? Righteousness, and nothing crooked or perverse is in them." That would be in his lips, in his mouth, in wisdom's mouth. "Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to all who understand, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and acknowledge rather than choice of gold, and my knowledge rather than choice of gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire in this world cannot be compared to her." So, Keith, what that's telling me there is that I can get it wrong, but wisdom can't. So therefore, I need to be in tune of listening for God's wisdom. No matter how wise I am, no matter what I know, how I'm able to put that together, I'm always have to listen for the wisdom of God. Because I'm prone to get it wrong, but He is never wrong. He always gets it right. And God knows what to do with the facts or the knowledge or the information that He has. We see that in chapter 8 going on with creation. That wisdom was there when God created it all. So anything this world throws at us, wisdom has a solution for it. Amen?
Amen.
God has a solution for it. And wisdom is always pure. Wisdom is always right. There's no wickedness in the mouth of wisdom. So listen to me. This helps me then. We live in a world that is rude, crude, and lewd. Are you with me?
Come on.
Rude, crude, and lewd. Wisdom is never none of those three things. So when you find and you hear people that are rude and crude and lewd, you can know right off the bat that's not wisdom speaking.
Amen.
See, we live in a society that prizes rudeness and crudeness and lewdness in these days. And it's only getting worse. Remember, they say what is wrong, they call it right. And what is right, they call wrong. You see, wisdom can't do that. Remember, God's love only rejoices in the truth. And wisdom only speaks that which is true and what is right. So in a society that we are involved in every day, how many of y'all been around a few rude, crude, and lewd people that get commended for being straightforward, that get prized for speaking their mind, that get elevated in our society of saying whatever they want to say and just claiming it is what it is? Well, there's a lot that it is what it is, but it ain't of God. Are you with me? So we have to then start paying attention. That which comes across ill-mannered, and the reason that is, think about it with me. If wisdom never gets it wrong, wisdom is never threatened by that which is wrong. Never threatened. Nothing is a threat to God. And nothing is a threat to God's wisdom. So when wisdom responds to a situation, it doesn't have to respond rudely. It doesn't have to respond with crudeness. And it doesn't have to be indecent with lewdness. It doesn't have to, because it's not threatened by anything. It has a solution. And that's why wisdom is known as being clean and pure and gentle and all those things, because it doesn't have to respond in an ill-mannered, impolite, abrupt, harsh, destroying the person kind of way, because wisdom wants to invite the person in to build the person up so that the person can see the glory of God.
Amen.
Not to destroy or tear down that person with rudeness, lewdness, or crude speaking, because that's what we see. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to walk the streets today and just listen to how people communicate.
Amen.
Listen how people talk and the way they handle things. And you see, that's what's such a value for a mama and for us dads, to teach our arrows, okay? That's not God speaking in that kind of tone.
Amen.
God doesn't speak that type of way. God doesn't use those types of words in dealing with problems or dealing with people. God just doesn't do that. So I can recognize then what? I can recognize this is not God at work. This is man. And if it's of man, I should not be welcoming it into my heart. I'm to guard my heart.
Amen.
Because whatever I let in, and I don't take it captive and deal with it, it's going to come out. It's going to get out of me. Are you? How many of y'all have heard too many things already that is messed up to begin with that wants to get out of you from time?
Yeah.
You see, we can recognize not only is it wise what they're doing, but it's also we can recognize is it wise what I'm doing, how I'm thinking, what I'm saying. And these are fundamentally important to all of us. Notice, let's go a little bit further. Look at verse number 12. Our wisdom dwell with prudence, and prudence is the ability to act on what you know, to put wisdom to work. I find out knowledge and discretion. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. And then he's going to describe this idea of evil. What is he going to hate? Pride, arrogance, and the evil way. So what is pride? Just the product of natural man. Man swelling up with himself. You know, God hates that.
Amen.
God hates man swelling up with himself. Because see, that's how the fool operates. Yeah. The fool is so swollen up with himself, he pushes back at God's ways and says, my way is better than God's way, and I'm going to stick with my way. And then arrogance to say that your way is better than God's way, I'm going to go do it my way. And you see, God, the man that fears God, departs from that kind of way of self-centered, arrogant living, and he's yielded in submission to the things of God. I can start seeing that, Danny, in my own journey and other people's lives. Where is this person meek and humble and teachable and honest and longing to hear God's design in this thing, God's word on this thing, or are they just bent and set to do it their way? Well, I'll know if I'm dealing with somebody who's operating in wisdom or somebody who's still living like a fool on a matter. Now, just because you're wise today don't mean you won't act like a fool tomorrow. Are you with me?
Amen.
How many of y'all have acted like a fool this week?
Come on.
Stephanie? Matt, you know, and that's, see, this is important. Myers, you got your hand up. What does the Bible say about a Maddie Walker or Myers or Hadley Jane or any of our little ones? What does it say about our little ones? That foolishness is bound up in them. And only the disciplined, consistent correction of the rod, which is discipline, is able to drive it far from them. So being a parent is a non-stop, always on the job. Are you with me, Miss Pat? I mean, Lydia's almost 30 years old, fixing to give birth to her own, and I'm still on the job. I'm not Marcus has got her now. He's living over there, but I every once in a while I have to be discreet, because that's one of the gifts of wisdom. That is, you got to know how to say a thing and when to say a thing, or how to recognize something in someone, or you don't recognize it, how to deal with that at that time. And I'm not always as discreet as I should be. Sometimes I may say something that the timing wasn't right for it to be said. You know, Jesus was never off in his timing. Aren't you glad? Boy, when he spoke the right thing, and not just the right thing, but he knew how to say a thing when he said a thing. That's something that we're all in the process of what? Learning as we fellowship with wisdom. And to God be the glory for it. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory. James chapter 3. I mentioned it last week. I mentioned to you again. In James chapter 3, we're not going to go there just for time's sake, but James chapter 3, I wanted to, and Brother Shannon, I normally have plans to talk about it tonight, but we're not going to have a service tonight. But James chapter 3 helps us a lot with how to notice a worldly sense of wisdom and a heavenly gift of wisdom. And one of the first thing it says about heavenly wisdom is the first thing about it, it's pure. That means it's clean. It's clean. What is it clean and pure? What is it does not have involved in it? Us. That's what makes it clean and pure, is that it has no pride in it. It has no arrogance in it. It has no self-centeredness in it. Self can't be found in it. It's pure. It's clear. It's clean. And boy, that's the first place we want to start looking for, man. Is this a Is this self at work, or is this God's voice at work? Amen? Is He doing these things in our life? So, the New Testament word, mamas, it's a name. And it takes us back to why God refers to wisdom as a woman. Remember, we talked about that a lot. We're going to continue to bring that up. Remember, we've already said, what would we be if we didn't have women in our life, a mama? Everything in this world would come to nothing and couldn't survive without a woman. God brought a woman to man and said that man shouldn't be alone, so He brought a woman to her. Just like it's not good for you and me to live in this world without God's wisdom.
Amen.
The New Testament word for wisdom that we see in James 3, that is first pure and clean, also gentle, caring and comforting and consistent, all those things, the word is Sophia. That's the word. Sophia. How many of y'all know a Sophia? Feminine. God always refers to women, wisdom in the feminine sense as a woman, as Sophia. That Sophia wants to fellowship with us, to teach us the ways of Jesus. Because it's not good that a man not be without God's wisdom in his life. Amen?
Amen.
Sophia. We need her. More than we need that next dollar.
Come
on. More than we need treasures. We need Sophia. Wisdom in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you today. Thank you for our time to be able to gather and edify one another and edify your bride and lift her up. Build her up. We pray that you help us as Psalms and Proverbs teach us about the fear of the Lord, that when you forgive us, that what comes with your forgiveness is your fear, that we give place to you, that we treasure you, and when we treasure you, we come out of living life on our own, and we do things your way because now we can see your way. So, Lord, I pray that you continue to make us wise and that we will know how to take the next step with you, know what to do with the knowledge that you feed us, that we could piece it together and see it with understanding, that we would show discretion in what we say and how we act and what we do, and that you'd give us discernment to be able to see and hear and know the voice of your wisdom at work in your people and when it's not. So, Lord, I pray that you help each one. Be with our mamas today, that you'd surround them with love and that you would encourage them and that you would help them and that you would be with each one as we walk out of here today on this mission field you've given us. And we're going to praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. One of those things, mamas, that we're never, ever going to be able to get away from as long as we have breath in this old world is that we're going to have to judge things. That's something that you see in Proverbs. He's judging the difference between the simple and the wise and the fool and sinners that entice you to do things. We've got to teach our children how to make right judgment. Got to have to teach them. So you can't take the world. You know, the world says, don't judge me. But God says you judge everything. But you got to judge it the right kind of way. Your judgment can't be corrupt. It's got to be righteous. And the only way that happens is it's got to start in the right place. It's got to start with the Lord and how He sees the thing. So that's one of the things we as parents, as moms, get to do is teach our children how to judge and how to judge rightly and correctly, not corruptly, from a self-centered way, but a way that would bring glory and honor to the Lord, and that they won't listen to the voice of the world, but they'd listen to the Lord and say, hey, we've got to make a right decision on this thing. Therefore, I do have to judge. I just need to judge rightly in it. They need your help. Amen?
Amen.
They need your help in this old world we live in. All right, look, we've got a few things up here that we would love to pass on to the sweet ladies in our life. You are wildly loved and appreciated. And This is just a little gift from Stephanie and I. We just want to pass on to you. And you just take it and enjoy the pretty flowers. We love you. We appreciate you. We value you. We wouldn't be what we are if it wasn't for you and the way God's working in and through your lives and our life. And we can't help but thank Him for it. Amen? Amen. So make sure you get to take one home with us. They all do have water in them, so just be cautious, be careful. You don't spill them anywhere. I know you wouldn't want to do that. And so y'all enjoy them and have a good time with them. Anybody have anything else before we go? Going to school in the morning. Y'all remember Carolyn? She's going to school in the morning. Well, amen. We love y'all. Father, we thank you today again. We thank you for the fact that we can celebrate you. We thank you for all these wonderful ladies and their families that you've surrounded us with, that you use to love on us, to nurture us, to be a blessing to us. We just pray now that you would use them in our lives and those of beyond, that your name would be honored and glorified. So thank you. We praise you and give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.